willing to do it. And so I figured I'd use it now. But, you know, tonight's going to be it's going to be about our country and a little bit about the politicians. And I sure get worked up when we talk about politicians, especially Nancy Pelosi. Are we live streaming tonight? Very good. Very good. All right. Streaming, you never know who's out there listening, and you have an opportunity to just give them the truth, you know. And so I look forward to that. And I'm not up here to offend anybody. You know, I don't know what side of the political aisle you're on. So all I'm gonna do is give facts, right, and let the chips fall where they may. I try not to mention too many people by name, but we're gonna mention Nancy Pelosi tonight. By name, and if we had a dartboard, we would put her picture on there, and we would all have a game of darts tonight. But, you know, like the pastor said several times, and you know, if we had our way, we'd just zap them, and that'd be the end of them. And that would certainly be true with Nancy Pelosi. But that's not going to accomplish anything. It's only going to seal her destiny, and or her eternity, I should say, and but then we don't want that for him. Wouldn't you like, I was just talking to the pastor Thursday night after recording, and it would just be great if we had, I don't know, 20 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes to have both sides of the aisle and not them not be able to say a word, and you just give them the gospel and give them scripture. And it'd be something to be able to do that. And so I don't know. But when they open their mouth, then I don't have no problem. And Nancy Pelosi did. And I don't have no problem attaching her name to what she says. So it's not my opinion. It's not gossip. It's facts from what she said. So, and that's what inspired this here a couple, 3 weeks ago. Let's put the verse up here on the board, Isaiah 5:20. You know, that Sunday morning, I was going to talk about this in Sunday school, and we're going to pray here in a minute. But that Sunday evening, the pastor actually talked about Isaiah 5:20. So we're going to hit it again here tonight. How it applies maybe to our lives and to our country. But before we get underway, you know, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your help throughout this day, Father. And just pray that you be with us tonight and as we open your word and we take a look at it, Father. Our country is in dire need of your intervention, Father. And we have things so backwards in our country. And Father, we just ask for your help. Help us to understand our part, Father, and I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just do a mighty work in our land. Father, we need hearts turned towards you. We need people to forsake their wicked ways. Father, we need hearts that are right with you so you would heal our land and we wouldn't have things backwards. We wouldn't be calling good evil and evil good and putting light for darkness and darkness for light, Father. We just can't seem to get it right as a country. And Father, so I just ask that you work in hearts. I ask that you encourage our hearts tonight. And Father, again, I ask that you be with those that are traveling, that you give them the safety, protection that they need, Father. And encourage their hearts while they're away. I pray for Mrs. Pyatt and that you just be with her Tuesday and she has this surgery. Father, that you give the doctors the skill and the wisdom they need. And Father, that you would encourage her heart. Just pray for all those that aren't feeling well right now that are out. And that you'd lift them up and encourage them, give them healing. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, we talked about this verse right here. Let's just read it. Woe. You know, woe means judgment. Okay, so right there, when you see that first word, woe, it should call our attention to this verse because the Lord's going to judge something here. And he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And the whole thing just has a theme of we have it all backwards. And that's what our country does. It has right now. It's got it all backwards. And as soon as I read what Nancy Pelosi had to say, and where did I put that? I had that someplace. She called for she said on that Yeah, maybe I left it at home. But anyway, she started praising George Floyd. Now, we all know who George Floyd is, right? He's the guy that was killed here in Minneapolis. And I think we all know about it. And by the police officer, kneeled on his neck. Okay, so after Chauvin there, the police officer was found guilty. She, Nancy Pelosi, said that she praised, and I had it wrote down exactly what she said, and I left it at home, but she praised George Floyd for his life. Well, okay, if you were just to read that article and you don't know anything about George Floyd, you're thinking he's a pretty good guy, right? Well, okay, she, the third most powerful person in this country of ours, she wants to praise George Floyd. Let's find out who George Floyd is. George Floyd moved to Minneapolis in 2014 after being released from prison in Houston, Texas, following an arrest for aggravated robbery. On May 25th, Floyd was arrested for passing a counterfeit $20 bill at a grocery store. These are just facts. At the time, he was under the influence of fentanyl and methamphetamine. Whatever they are, he was under the influence of them. He has been in jail or prison at least 5 times. George Floyd was the leader of a group of men that broke into a woman's home, held her at gunpoint while his friends robbed the home. He was sentenced to 10 months in jail for possession of cocaine in December of 2005. He was sentenced to 8 months in jail in 2002 for drug possession. And also in 2002, he was arrested for criminal trespassing. He did time in jail in 1998 for theft. And I got down to the bottom of the page and I figured, okay, you get the idea. I'm not writing any more about George Floyd. Does he sound like, she called him a hero. Does he sound like a hero to any of you? I mean, we have this, where did my verse go? Nice scenery, though. Yeah, right there. Thank you very much. Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, Pelosi said Tuesday outside the Capitol. Sacrificing your life for justice. And she's thanking this guy, George Floyd. In another article I read, she called him a hero, but that's fine. And it says here, woe unto them that call evil good. Now, I just read to you about George Floyd. To me, that's evil. He's an evil person. He still had the capability to be saved even during this evil time in his life. Don't get me wrong. But without the Lord in his life, and he didn't have the Lord in his life, he is an evil person. And she's calling him good. See, I'm telling you, as soon as I read that article, this verse right here came to my mind. We as a country have got it all backwards. And I say as a country, yeah, but let me say this. If we willfully sin, just like Brother Steve said today, it's those thoughts in our mind that get us in trouble. When we willfully sin, are we not calling evil good in our own lives? I would think we are, right? I mean, if we're going to go ahead and do it and we know it's a sin, we must be kidding ourselves calling it good. Well, so even you know, it goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, and then it goes on to say, turn from their wicked ways. Well, a lot of times we read that and we think, well, I'm not that wicked, right? I'm not wicked like George Floyd is wicked. Well, yes and no. I mean, even if we entertain those thoughts that lead us down the wrong road, I mean, that's what the Lord's getting at. Even people like us need to turn from those things. And that's what Brother Steve's message was about today, getting rid of those things out of our lives. But even when we do that, we're calling evil good. Woe unto them. Judgment's coming. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's up to us to make sure that we're not calling evil what the Lord calls evil. We're not calling it good in our lives. It's a very dangerous thing. I had more here on George Floyd, but we get the idea about George Floyd. Well, before I get into it, I wrote down a couple more verses here. Let's go to Psalms 33:12. You know, and like I said a minute ago, if we had the opportunity to talk to, and you know, Nancy Pelosi, we all know she's on the Democratic side, right? But don't get me wrong, it's on both sides of the aisle. It's on both sides. I'm not here bashing one side or the other. I'll bash them both. There's wickedness on both sides. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation." Now that's where we need to be. We need to be at the point where we want the Lord to bless this country of ours, like He has in times past. And the key is right here. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. It's so simple if you had the opportunity to talk to these politicians and tell them this is what it's going to take to straighten the country out. It's not your decisions, speaking to them, it's not your decisions that are going to correct our problems. It's not your decisions that's going to bring this country of ours up out of the sickness of the sin that we have fallen into. It's the Lord that's going to do it. It's the Lord that's going to do it. But until we get to the point of Proverbs 8:13, until we get to the point of Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Until we get to that point where we hate the evil and we stop calling evil good, no matter what it is, the tiniest things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and we entertain it and we keep it there, the smallest thing in each one of our lives, we are calling it good until we get rid of it. Woe unto them that do that. Sometimes we read verses and we skim over it, but that's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse, and that woe means judgment, like I said, and the Lord's just saying judgment's coming to those people that do that. And going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if His people would turn from their wicked ways, and I'm not calling anybody in here wicked. Now, you get the point. I mean, it could be the smallest thing in our lives that we entertain that we're not willing to give up. And we're calling it that evil good until we're willing to turn from those wicked ways. Every little detail in our lives that shouldn't be there, we are calling it good until we get rid of it. And until that happens, the Lord's never going to heal our land, right? We're going to be stuck with politicians like Pelosi, who's been there long before I was born, I think. She's been there forever. Okay, we better get into it then. Our country calls evil good and good evil. God once destroyed the earth, except Noah and his family, because of the way they lived. We all know that story. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. But you know why the Lord destroyed the earth? It's because of the way the people lived. It was because of the way they lived. God said, no more. And He's going to get to that point again. You know, this earth's going to burn up one of these days. This morning I was talking about son-in-laws, and Corey was watching by way of live stream. I went over there to get Trevor after church today, and Corey came out and said, I heard what you said. And I was just about ready to talk about son-in-laws. This earth's going to burn up one of these days. You know, and I have one son-in-law who talks about the flat earth a lot, and it seems to be, you know, a major issue with him. But like I told him before, you know, this earth's going to burn up one of these days. The earth we're standing on right now is going to melt with a fervent heat. I don't care if it's round, square, flat, triangle-shaped. I mean, I don't care. I believe it's round. But I don't care. It's going to be gone. It's temporary. Why would we put time into it? But anyway, I don't know how I got going on son-in-laws again. Nothing about you, Corey. You're good. Anyway, Genesis chapter 5, verse 6, Genesis 6, 5, 6, the Lord got rid of this whole mess because of the way the people lived. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and I'm sure He sees it today, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. I wonder if he's just about to that point right now. where it just grieves his heart with the way the United States of America is living. And I would think it does. And we're going to look at some things here that he calls an abomination that people call good. People call good. God once destroyed two cities because of the way they lived, right? We all know the story. Genesis, if we go to Genesis 18:20, Genesis 18:20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." And if we go to chapter 19, verse 13, it says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And then if we go to, drop down to verse 24 and 25, 24 and 25, it says, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." He destroyed the whole mess. And it's a lot like Brother Steve was talking about this morning when the children of Israel went into these other places. God wanted the whole mess gone. He didn't want anything left. The cattle, the people, whatever it might be. And just because of the fact that people call evil good and good evil. And God will destroy. God will destroy. And we just looked at two examples. We looked at he destroyed the world once. And he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And we also know the story that he gave Sodom and Gomorrah another 40 years, right? Because they repented and got right. And, maybe he'll do that for the USA also. I don't know. But, I mean, I know you folks love this country. I do. All it takes is one little trip to someplace else, like when we went to Haiti, and you see how other people live their way of life. And then you come back here, and we have all the, we have a life of ease, really. I mean, it's a life of ease. And there's no other, to me, there's no place greater than the United States. And boy, we just keep, it seems like the last few months, the United States is always going like this down, but it seems like the last few months we just went like this. Anything goes with these politicians. I mean, they call evil good and good evil. And we all know Nancy Pelosi did it because of race. And that's another thing about this country right now. The race thing is unbelievable. These politicians are just going off the deep end about race. And if you're white, they say we should feel guilty. I've got to tell you something. I don't feel guilty looking at the camera there and talking to whoever who might be listening out there. I do not feel guilty because I'm white, nor will I. What they're talking about, something that happened long before any of us were born. But the politicians are just evil. And, you know, I tell you what, when we go and vote, and I know it's going to be a little bit here before we vote, but if we vote, and we vote for somebody who says they're for abortion, let's take abortion. If we vote for that person, are we not calling evil good? We are. We absolutely are when we do that. Boy, I tell you, we got to take a stand, people. We got to take a stand. Woe unto them that do that. You say, no, I didn't. I'm not saying abortion's good if I vote for this person. Yes, you are if that's their platform. Yes, you are. You can't hide from it. A nation, a society, even an entire planet brings the wrath of its creator upon it by the way the people live. By the way we live. Since God created this earth and every human being on it, he has every right to tell us how to live. And that's what he does in his word. He tells us how to live. You know, if it was president, if I were president of the United States, I would think it would be fairly easy because they'd come and say, hey, what are we going to do about Hamas bombing Jerusalem? Well, I said, I don't know. Just a second. Let me take a look. They're looking. Oh, well, it says right here, if you bless Israel, the Lord's going to bless us. I tell you what to do. Let's go destroy Hamas and get the stealth bombers in the air and let's take care of that problem. It would be pretty easy to me, I would think, because I'm not calling the shots. I'm going to let the Lord call the shots. And that's what the politicians need to do. And then we wouldn't be in this mess of calling good evil and evil good. And these things that are dark, calling them light. And the things that are light, saying that's darkness. And doesn't that sound just like the country we live in today? It does. I'd rather live in America than any other place on earth. But this country is in a sad state. And unless there's a genuine spiritual awakening, God's judgment will fall, just like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like it did on all the inhabitants of the earth back in Noah's day. It will. We don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. But we don't know that. Could be tomorrow. You know, if we go back to Isaiah chapter 5 and read 20 and 21 this time. I'm not telling you people anything you don't know, but excuse me. The thing is, our lives, our own individual lives. And I think on here near the end, I'm going to get back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's those, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we get to the point in our lives where we realize everything we think about, everything we do, everything we listen to, everything we watch, let our eyes see everything about our lives. If there's any evil in there, we need to get to the point where we call evil, evil. And need to hate evil. Then the Lord's going to do something in our land. When we get to that point. Isaiah 5:20-21, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then in verse 21 it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Doesn't that sound like our government? Who are wise in their own eyes? It does. It sounds just like them. But there's times we can be just like that too. There's times we can be just like that. America is at a place where we have become wise and prudent in our own sight. We have become a backwards nation. We have put evil in place of good, darkness for light, and bitter for sweet. I just want to look at, I think I have three things on here. We're not going to have much time at all, but I got three things on here that America has it wrong on. The politicians. When I say America, I know we in here don't have these three things wrong. Okay, I know that. But there's people listening out there that might not even know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a country, we have it wrong. You know, and the number one thing, I don't know about the number one thing. The first thing on my list is sodomy. You know, this country has it wrong. Again, if I were president of the United States and somebody come to me and said, what are we going to do about this sodomy problem in our country? Well, I don't know. Let me take a look and see what the Lord says. Oh, it's an abomination to him right there. An extreme hatred of it. We're going to stomp it out. We're going to do away with it. See, it seems like it'd be kind of easy to me. Because I just let the Lord make the decisions. But anyway, if we go to Leviticus, this is just an area in our country where they've got it wrong. And I don't get it because Leviticus chapter 18, we'll read what here? 22. Yeah, let's just read verse 22 for the sake of time. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, I don't know what the percentage of the people in our country who are sodomites. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would think it'd be a small percentage, wouldn't you? I mean, I wouldn't think it'd be a very big number. I could be wrong on that. I'm just saying I don't think it'd be a very big number. Why are the politicians catering to that such a small amount of people? I don't get it. I mean, even the politicians wave them rainbow-colored flags that the sodomites have. And I don't get it at all. Leviticus 18:22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is an abomination. It's right there. It's an extreme hatred. Today, even today in our country, sodomy is more of a political issue than a moral issue. For some reason, politicians have sold the good for a vote. Politicians cater to the sodomites when they should be catering to God. I just don't understand it. Society says if you speak out against sodomy, you are presenting a message of hate. And that's not true. Because God says sodomy is an abomination. Each one of us should say sodomy is an abomination. And it has nothing to do with hatred for these people. But in reality, it's a message of love. I mean, there's hope for them. There's hope for each one of them. Let's go to Proverbs 27:6. Proverbs 27:6. I mean, it's up to us to keep speaking out against it. Is it an easy thing to do? No, it's not an easy thing to do. Is it the right thing to do? Yes, it's the right thing to do. People are going to call you hateful. They're going to call me hateful. But I don't hate those people. How can you hate them? You don't even know them. I hate what they do. What did I say? Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, that's one thing right there. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend of these people would tell them exactly the way it is. That the Lord says what you're doing is an abomination to him. That would be calling evil evil. That would be calling good good. Sometimes we have to tell people something that may hurt them in order just to help them. You know, if a doctor, you go to a doctor and he gives you a physical and he finds something wrong, but he don't want to tell you about it because he doesn't want to ruin your day or tell you anything hurtful. He just says, go home and have a good day. He's not doing you any good. Why go to the doctor? Well, it's no different than us. We're talking to somebody who's putting evil in the place of good. If we don't speak up and talk to them about that, what good are we doing them at all? We're not doing them any good. We're not doing the Lord any favors, that's for sure. God says sodomy is an abomination. God created us male and female. That's the thing. You know, that's another thing. That's another thing people have got so mixed up out there in, is they don't even know if they're male or female anymore. I mean, that should be the easiest thing to determine. A doctor, as soon as you're born, he can tell you which one you are. I don't know, this day and age, the politicians, they want to strike the word mom and dad and whatever from sentences that are spoken in the government now, and I don't know the proper terminology, but it's not, what was it? It wasn't Happy Mother's Day. It was happy, anyone help me with that, whatever the phrase they used? There you go. Yeah, something like that right there. Why is that? You can't tell a male from a female? God only created the two. See how pathetic the politicians have become? Pathetic. They're calling evil good and good evil, and people just stand by and let it happen. Well, that's where we come in. That's where 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes in. Until we get to that point, and I'd turn there, and maybe we will later if we have time, but we all know the verse. What are we? We're just a small group of people. Well, Gideon didn't have a lot of people. Well, he had a lot of people, but the Lord whittled it down because the Lord is the one that's going to do the work. And even though we're a small group, the Lord's the one that's going to do the work. We're not. His strength is made perfect through our weaknesses. It just takes people like us who are willing to stand for the Lord, call evil evil and good good. And then let's see what the Lord can do in our land. Let's see what the Lord can do in our lives. People like us turn from their wicked ways. And again, it goes right back to what Brother Steve was talking about this morning. Getting rid of the things in our life, which these bodies are supposed to be the temple of the holy and living God, right? Each one of us. But yet we entertain thoughts and imaginations of the heart. And you know what I'm talking about, because there's times I'm thinking of things I shouldn't be thinking of, and I'm not the only one. And it goes right back to what he's saying this morning. Those things have to go, utterly destroyed. When that happens, then the Lord's going to work in our land. But not until then. I know, we're just about out of time, aren't we? I'll just skip a lot of this and get on to the second one. The second one's abortion in our land. Abortion. That's calling evil good right there. Abortion, which is another name for murder. We're not going to turn there for where it's getting to be about 10:02. Romans chapter 1 tells us that those who have left God and changed the truth of God into a lie are without natural affection. Any doctor or nurse or the lady having an abortion, or even the father of that child who agrees with the abortion, or anybody who has a part of that abortion, wouldn't you say with me that they lack natural affection? I would think so. How can you have any natural affection and do that? I've taken a look, and I don't recommend taking a look at aborted babies on the computer. And the pastor gave me the green light to show pictures of it, but I'm not brave enough to do it. You younger people, I wouldn't do that. I mean, you can if you want, but I wouldn't do it. I did it. Because I don't know that much about abortion. It is horrific what they do, and I don't know how they can do that. But our government says it's good. Now, when we vote for somebody and they are pro-abortion, are we not calling that evil good? Yes, we are. And you can't run and you can't hide from it. We are calling that evil good. Abortion is evil. It's sick. It's sick. It's twisted mind. It's an abomination. Severe hatred for that. Abortion is a terrible way to die. It's amazing to me. You take a young couple and they have a baby on the way. They are so excited. You know, Kim's sending me pictures of what do you call it? Ultrasound. I can't tell anything by them ultrasounds. I mean, I don't know if you people can. I can't see a thing. But she's excited about it. And she's tells me about, I could hear the baby's heartbeat today. And you're telling me that child's not alive in there? There's a heartbeat. I'm no brain. I'm no scholar. I don't have a lot of education. But I'm smart enough to know that child's alive. And for the sake of money and convenience, people just commit murder. That's all it is. How do they live with themselves after calling that evil they did good? How do they go through their day? I don't know. That's not all supposed to be doom and gloom, though. I mean, because we've all made mistakes in times past. And we've all done things we shouldn't have done in times past. And I don't know the history of everybody. But the Lord forgives. Yeah, He's merciful. And He's very forgiving. And I don't care what any of us or any of you people that might be listening or everybody in Greenville, I don't care what they've done. If they're truly sorry from their heart, the Lord will forgive them. And He will forget that abomination. He will. God says, you do think you murder people, you need to be put to death. We're just going to get down to number 3. And it's probably one that you're not even expecting. There's sodomy, there's abortion, and those are the two main ones in our country that we think about and talk about a lot. But what about divination? I hope I'm saying that right. You know what I'm talking about, witches and astrology and things like that. You know, if we look at Jeremiah 14:14, and this is a lot bigger in our country than I thought it was. Jeremiah 14:14 says, Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. That's not really the one I want. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Like I said, I put this together here 3 weeks ago or so. Deuteronomy 18, and we'll read 9 through 12. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination. There it is right there. It's probably one you never even thought of before. Unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. This goes back to what Brother Steve was saying. The Lord wanted to drive all those wicked abomination people and their cattle and anything else they had out of the land. He didn't want his people associated with any of that stuff. Well, he doesn't want us associated with it either. God says none of these things we just read about should be found among Christians. We were at a church in Riverdale years ago, and a lady showed up there, and she's telling us about how she just went and had her eyes read. Anyone ever heard about that before? Well, that's what the Lord's talking about right there. You're telling me a Christian is going to go to somebody who reads tea leaves or eyes or whatever it is, and that person is going to tell them what's going to happen in the future? That person has no idea what's going to happen in your life in the future. But people, they look to everything except God. They call evil good and good evil. We have it backwards. I got to be dumb because we only got to page 3, and I think I have page 7 on here. So, well, I tell you what, let's just close with 2 Chronicles 7:14. I've been mentioning that enough, and let's just close with that one. I know we talk about this verse a lot, and but it's the key. It's the key to God's healing this land. If my people, so it's a very personal thing. It's not talking to the world out there. He's talking to his people, his adopted sons and daughters, which is us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, I think those three things are probably the easiest of the four. My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then number 4, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need that land healed in the worst way. But I think the key is turn from their wicked ways. And it goes right back to what Brother Steve said. Because Brother Steve was trying to get to the point. He did get to the point. But what he said was everything. Because the Lord wanted everything out of the land. The people, the cattle, the tents, the whatever. He wanted them all gone. And that's what he wants from us, is every little thing in our lives that we're holding on to, that we call good when it is evil, and we know it's evil, but we don't want to let it go. Until that happens, he's not going to heal the land. He's not going to heal the land. I'm right there with you, okay? I'm not talking at you. I'm right there with you. Until all of us get to that point, every little thing, every thought that we have that we shouldn't even be considering, until we call it evil and forsake it and get rid of it. And we call it evil. We call the evil evil. Let's call the good good. Let's not have it backwards like the world does. Because we need God to heal this land of ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be here today, Father. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. And we thank you for being a forgiving God. Father, there's not a one of us that are perfect. And we do wrong from time to time. We think the wrong things and we do the wrong things, Father. And help us to forsake them. Help us to call the evil in our life evil. Help us to hate that evil, just like you hate that evil, Father. We thank you that you forgive us of our sins, Father, and help us not to presume upon your goodness. Help us to realize that Christ, constantly remember that Christ went to the cross and paid for those sins with his own precious blood. Father, I pray that if anybody out there that was watching this service tonight and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I just ask that you work in their hearts and lives and draw them to yourself, and may they see their need for Jesus Christ and that free gift of salvation that only comes through him. May they see that need before it's eternally too late for them. Father, I pray that you work in our government's, the politicians' hearts. And Father, I pray for their souls, that you just open their eyes to the truth, Father. I pray that they would repent and they'd get right with you. And Father, that they'd live their lives according to your word. They'd run this country according to your word. Father, we thank you again. We just ask that you be with our pastor and Pastor Jeremy tomorrow as they're traveling back, that you give them the safety they need. We ask for those that aren't feeling well, Father, that you just encourage them and give them strength and help throughout this week and bring them back to their place of service. And Father, Tuesday, as Sister Carol goes in for surgery, I just ask that you help that surgery to be a success, Father, and give her grace at this time and give her that peace that passeth all understanding. I do pray for Mrs. Berberg, Father, that you work in her life and as things will be a little different for her in the days and months ahead. And, you just give people wisdom on what to do and help us to be a blessing to each other, Father. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray, amen.